Christ is still the King.
Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Supreme Knight Bud Maher.
Oh, wow. They really let you go up the chain there over in Pittsburgh. This is The Uncommon Good coming to you on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, streaming live, iowacatholicradio.com. And then thanks to the Blessman Ministries and the People's Abstract Company, if you have the Iowa Catholic Radio app, you can listen to it nearly anywhere. I'm here with Deacon Tony, and I think he said he got brand new robot eyes. They look very nice. Here in the Mercy Live Up studio. And Bud, what about you? Do you have anyone in Pittsburgh who has renewed eyesight? No?
Renewed eyesight.
Yeah, Deacon Tony had a cataract surgery. Now he can...
Oh.
Yeah, he's batting 400. He should have been in the soccer match yesterday, evidently.
Well, I was just hoping that Deacon Tony hadn't got an eye tattoo. I heard those can go wrong.
I could have been there with you with the Pirates, you know.
That's
Pittsburgh
right.
Pirates.
Yeah.
That's great. Like, you know, Deacon Tony with an eye tattoo, that would be... That would be intimidating, Deacon Tony, and like I think you're a pretty friendly-looking guy, but the eye tattoo really changes the ball game, pretty much.
Yeah, I try to have as much sympathy for other people as possible. I saw an article on CNN or somewhere about an eye tattoo gone wrong, and I just couldn't help but thinking, like, it's probably a bad idea from the get-go.
I was going to say, another name for eye tattoo gone wrong is having an eye tattoo at all. But, you know, whatever.
But I heard, I'm glad Deacon's cataract surgery went well.
Oh, yeah. He's spry and running around and doing everything, just even with more vigor and pep.
Yeah, on the way to work, I only hit two trees and three dogs, you know, so.
That's right. And, I mean, the dogs are going to recover, so he's well on his way back to everything. So, as always, brought to you by Mercy College of Health Sciences. You know, Bud, we just had... a faith and healing speaker just a little while ago, but we already have one coming up soon, November 9th at 6 p.m. Dr. Abraham Nussbaum. He's going to be talking about the basal option, the renewal of medicine. Now, we know this character, Bud. We know Abraham Nussbaum pretty well. He was he is an actual doctor, like prescribes medicine doctor. But he on the side, he also, because he's this type of guy, on the side, got a degree in theology and was out at Duke at the same time as us. And he has wrote a book that is he our first friend to sort of have like a book and a book tour? Cause that's kind of crazy.
Maybe a book tour. That might be right. I know John Leonetti.
That's true.
He has books. I don't know if he does book tours. He does tours.
That's right.
if I could give a plug for the Faith and Healing, besides Abraham just being, I think he's going to be a phenomenal speaker. You know, sometimes it can be kind of daunting to think, oh, I'm home from work or whatever. I don't want to venture out into the vast jungle that is Des Moines. But Mercy's campus is right off the interstate, right, at 7th Street. And when you exit there at 235, we've got a guest lot right there waiting for you. So if you feel like, oh, this might, it's not like parking at a Kinnick Stadium or something.
Right.
You know, it's real accessible. Don't you provide food, Bo?
Oh, yeah. And last time we had good food. We had heavy hors d'oeuvres, which growing up in Oklahoma, I didn't know. I thought they always meant like a heavy horse. And I was confused. But heavy hors d'oeuvres from Palmer's, and they were fantastic. The 40 people that showed up, they gobbled that stuff up and got to gobble up intellectual heft as well, Bud.
Come for the hors d'oeuvres, stay for the speaker.
That's right. So, yeah, Abraham Nussbaum coming November 9th. That's Thursday, 6 p.m., open to the public. And then I know that we brought this up before, but people have asked, you know, I think some people were interested and reached out to me. They're like, oh, you know, it was neat that you showed ways that we could give back. We were talking last week about hurricane relief. But even here in Des Moines, we have what's called Catherine's Cabinet at Mercy College. And so it's a food pantry for students who, for whatever various reasons, might be needing help. So if you want to, go to the campus ministry page, mchs.edu/cm. That's for campus ministry. You can get a hold of me, and we can line up if you want to donate food and maybe other items like diapers or stuff like this for our students. Also, as always, brought by Cartridge World, underwritten by Cartridge World, the industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great. Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies, including ink, toner, paper, or printers. Business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement. Cartridge World, 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online cartridgeworld.com. I'm a little worried the next time we talk with Joe at Cartridge World, Bud, because, you know, Oklahoma State had this rogue assistant coach who's been investigated by the FBI. I'm sure the KU fan Joe is going to rile me for that one.
He probably will. I don't know. The sports world is just crazy. You mentioned U.S. soccer being defeated last night. You know, Iowa State won in Norman, Oklahoma last week
that
as a 30-point underdog.
So awesome.
So I feel like even Kansas football fans can have hope these days.
Well, no, but look, we need to slow down here because there's the realm of possibility, and then there's like 2 + 2 = 5. So I don't know if we want to give Kansas. I mean, Mangino's not there, but the new guy is not a slim down Mangino. So I don't know if it's really
that's,
worth getting your hopes up.
That's true. And whenever I try to sell hope to Kansas football fans, they're just like, oh no, they know like midnight madness or whatever, their basketball kickoff.
Right.
They have like the exact day and time marked on their calendar, and they're just like, that's football's more like tailgating for basketball.
Yeah, just like one long tailgating until basketball starts. Well, speaking of schools, see my transition there, bud.
There you go.
We actually have, so up next after the break, we'll have Dan Kerr and Patrick Whalen, the president and headmaster of St. Martin's Academy. St. Martin's Academy is not yet running, but it's going to be running soon. It's going to be a boarding school that combines classical education and also a farm. So like part of what the kids who are going to go there will actually be being taught how to farm. They're opening up. It's near Fort Scott, Kansas. We're going to talk to them about the endeavor that they're setting out to do and also about how education fits into the larger ideas of the common good and social justice and things like this. So that's what we're going to be doing here pretty soon in a minute. I don't know, Bud, do you have your education questions ready to go?
Oh, man. This is near and dear to our heart. We've had a lot of conversations about these things. I know, don't they kind of derive their inspiration from the Integrated Humanities Program?
That's right. So, yeah, John Senior. I think it's really neat to talk about this. A lot of people talk about things like farms and stuff like that, but could you imagine being your 15-year-old self and being able to reliably do anything on a farm? I know I can't.
Yeah, I probably could have convinced Rachel to marry me sooner if that would have gone down, but it took longer because I had no farming skills.
That's right, no farming, no hunting.
Real quick, before we get to the actual interview, do you know which St. Martin is the school named after?
I'm thinking St. Martin of Tours, but hey, you got yourself a ready-made question. That's good radio, bud. That's called a preview. I'm impressed.
The reason this is on my mind, there's St. Martin de Porres, St. Martin Tours, and I was talking to actually a Protestant this past weekend, and she was saying to me, like, oh, Martin Luther was named after St. Martin, and I said, which one? She didn't know.
Huh.
But then she kind of threw out this idea that, like, the St. Martin that he was named after was martyred in Worms, where Luther was later tried. And I was like, that doesn't sound right.
That does not sound right for either
of
them.
But I could not find a Catholic saint who had been martyred in Worms. Like, maybe somebody should have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so, yeah, because this has to do... Yeah, you had a talk that was that dealt with us over in Omaha this weekend. Did anybody from Des Moines drive out to see you?
No, well, it was in Lincoln, so
Lincoln,
it was
me.
Far for Des Moines folks. I did have some Omaha folks drive to Lincoln, and it went pretty well. But there was kind of this legend that was building up in this person's mind about Luther, and I was like, I knew that he's revered in some circles, but I think that particular fact was maybe a little off.
Bud Marr, Destroyer of Lutheran Dreams. If you stick around after the break, you can maybe hear Bud throw other well-loved stories into the great pit of forgotten realities and listen to us talk about education. So The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Marr, stick around. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you, Divine Treasures, for your support of our new Storm Alert weather package. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store celebrating 25 years of serving the Des Moines community. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures, where you find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. 5701 Hickman Road in Des Moines, 515-255-5230. That's 515-255-5230.
Why give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? To help families who want to send their kids to our Catholic schools and just can't afford it. Some donors like to give part or all of their required minimum distribution from their retirement account. The 65% Iowa tax credit you receive are a tax benefit you just don't want to pass up. Ask your tax advisor or contact us online, ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Support for The Uncommon Good is provided by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is an industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great.
Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies, including ink, toner, paper, or printers. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement.
Cartridge World, your low-cost, environmentally friendly printing experts, 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online at cartridgeworld.com.
Here is your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. A generally cloudy go of it for the rest of today and also for tonight. Our high today flirting with 60 degrees, falling to about 50 for tonight with some patchy fog forming late. Then increasing sunshine and milder weather for tomorrow, the high upper 60s. We do have a few showers back in the forecast by Friday afternoon, our high 75. The weather is brought to you by Divine Treasure Catholic Book and Gift Store, celebrating 25 years of service to the greater Des Moines community. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Naramore on Iowa Catholic Radio.
We're back. The Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Marr. And now we are also bringing on our guests for today, the founders of St. Martin's Academy, the president, Dan Kerr, headmaster, Patrick Whalen, St. Martin's Academy, a farm-based independent Catholic boarding high school for boys located in Fort Scott, Kansas. St. Martin's will open its doors September 2018 to a class of freshmen and sophomores and is currently accepting applications. Dan and Patrick, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Bo. Thank you so much. Just fine, Bo. Thanks for having us on.
What I think really adds to the mystique of talking to you guys is it sounds like you guys are in Fort Scott, Kansas, so I really appreciate that you guys have committed to the sort of aesthetics of it so much. No, I'm teasing with you guys. One of the things...
If you hear a train in the background, that's authentic.
That's right.
That's a real train, Bo.
That is a real Fort Scott train.
That's awesome.
One of the things that I don't know if you were threatening or promising, but you said that if we ran out of things to say that Dan could just start reciting Beowulf. And for me, that sounds like exciting radio, but I don't know if the listeners want us to really... automatically go with that. So, well, hey, actually, so the first question, Bud had the first question. Bud, did you want to go ahead and ask that?
Yeah, I was curious off the bat, guys. Thanks for being with us. Which St. Martin does the school derive its name from?
Great. Hey, Bud, this is Patrick. That's St. Martin of Tours, and he's our patron for a lot of reasons, but one of the chief ones is that he picked us rather than us picking him. St. Martin of Tours was a soldier. He was a hermit. He was a bishop. One of the reasons we thought of him is it would be hard for a boy coming through our school not to find a good exemplar in St. Martin of Tours, whether he's a bookworm or whether he's a more of an athlete. They all find an exemplar in St. Martin's Tours. So that's one of the big reasons.
Well, and I think that's a good segue into talking about the distinctiveness of what you guys are proposing with the new academy. There are, of course, other places that have the boarding school aspect, the classical school aspect, all things that you guys have talked about. But One of the things that I really appreciate is really, you know, talking about authentic Kansas life. You're talking about also implementing learning farm craft, as it, to put it one way. So, you know, how do you guys imagine all of these elements fitting together when your first class gets to start next September?
Yeah, this is Dan. So I think that the agrarian component really complements what we're going to be doing academically. You know, it used to, I was doing a little research yesterday, and I saw a statistic that said, I think in 1820, 75% of the folks in the United States were their occupation was involved in farming in some capacity. Today, that number is about 2%. And, you know, that's a drastic drop off, obviously. And I think that there are so many things that so many opportunities that are lost in the development of a young man just by not having that kind of constant contact with nature, you know, and working alongside your dad, your uncle, your cousins, your brothers. And so that really is a key component in the vision for St. Martin's Academy, is to bring the boys outside of the classroom and get them into nature, working with their hands, literally, you know, working in a garden, milking cows, working with a variety of livestock. And that contact with reality, that contact with the real, I think will have a profound impact on the development of their imagination. I think it will incite them to wonder about the world around them. And I also think it gives them a great physical outlet. You know, a lot of boys, I think, struggle or can struggle with being, you know, sitting in a desk or sitting in a seat for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. And this will get them out. It will get them active. These will be boys in motion. So, you know, the farming element to me is just a key pedagogical principle in the overall experience, and will really inform their senses and their imagination in a way that we can then build upon in the more formal studies that we do in the classroom.
Yep. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. We're speaking with Dan Kerr and Patrick Whalen, founders of St. Martin's Academy, that is opening its doors soon, September of next year. I happen to he's on my mind because I'm an Oklahoman and this just happened, but Blessed Father Stanley Rother, you know, his beatification ceremony was just a few weeks ago. He's, you know, the first American martyr. He's the saint we have. And farming played a massive role in his life, precisely because he's, like you said, he wasn't like born to be like a bookworm. He actually struggled through part of seminary. But if you start reading his biography, everything that he sort of learned, not only intellectually, but sort of in the spiritual life, was rooted and grounded in this sort of, you know, second nature being with the soil. And so I love what you're, how you, I think we can combine the two points you made, that with St. Martin, there's every type of kid you can run into can look to him as a role model, but also that every sort of person, even if you're not going to end up being a farmer, has something to learn from going back to the land.
No, that's right. I think with understanding that the natural environment is one of the teachers that we have, one of the ways that we have of learning about our Lord, one of the ways we have of contacting him, and kind of the chief and the principal way. There's so many opportunities. There's so many opportunities to know him better. And I think one of the chief things in my mind that's important about contact with reality, contact with the real world, for example, contact with an animal that has a will of its own, and that will sometimes be resisting your will. That's a kind of a beautiful and important lesson to learn when you're a young man that the world doesn't exist simply for you to exert your will upon. It offers resistance. It's nuanced. It's beautiful and mysterious. But you need a disposition of humility toward it rather than one of superiority and manipulativeness.
Hey guys, this is Bud again. We've thrown out for our listeners a couple times the name John Senior, and all of us are quite familiar with the work that he did. And I know, well, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you all derive some of your inspiration from the Integrated Humanities Program that he was a part of starting at the University of Kansas. Could you talk about what the philosophy of that approach is and how this differs in significant ways from how education is often done in this country?
Sure. It would be absolutely fair and accurate to say that John Senior has been profoundly influential in this project. I would go so far as to say that without his influence, we wouldn't be doing this. We certainly wouldn't be doing it in the way we're doing it. So there were three professors at the University of Kansas, John Senior, Frank Nellick, and Dennis Quinn. And Senior, I think, was in some ways kind of the spiritual leader of the three. But that program, which ran through the 70s and early 80s at KU, there were a lot of converts. And, of course, that's a time of tremendous turmoil just in the United States in general, and I think even within the church. And in the midst of all that chaos, you had all of these converts at a secular university. And their approach was they were not beating anyone over the head with a Bible or with the catechism. They were leading them through the great books. And they took a very poetic approach. Which I think, spoke to the heart as much as it spoke to the head. And so that approach is very much in alignment with what we hope to accomplish at St. Martin's. The muses, in the sense of, and music in the sense of poetry and literature, and music itself, Gregorian chant, folk music, etc. These will all be very important parts of the experience at the school, and really that whole poetic mode of education, which works through the senses and the imagination primarily, and tries to build a fertile soil in the senses and in the imagination. That's really, I think, what it's all about. Patrick's parents actually went through the Integrated Humanities Program, and you want to speak to.
Well, Bud, I would just add to what Dan was saying that you asked in what ways that philosophy of education is different than maybe a conventional philosophy, and it was certainly true that at the time what the three professors at KU and John Senior were doing was unconventional. It seems like they would take their students stargazing. In a great books course. Well, what does stargazing have to do with a university curriculum where you're supposed to be learning literature or critical, quote unquote critical thinking? I think the professor's insight was putting these students in contact with reality, with things that make them wonder, that make these souls aspire to something greater than themselves. So I think it was unconventional then, and it unfortunately remains unconventional now, perhaps if possible even more so, and which is a wonderful opportunity, and I think that's the calling of St. Martin's Academy.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. We're speaking with Dan Kerr and Patrick Whalen, founders of the soon-opening St. Martin's Academy. And I guess, like, full disclosure, I should say, I consider myself an adopted child of the whole integrated humanities great tree of people. So for the people who are listening, if maybe you haven't ran into the works of John Sr. Or Quinn Ornelick, you've undoubtedly ran into Archbishop Coakley, Bishop Conley, the monks at Clear Creek, the Wyoming Catholic University, and then if you've been in southeastern or north Kansas or northeastern Oklahoma and you see loud, gregarious, fun people, that's probably a Kane or a Clausen, and like there's all these other people that we could name whose families went to the Integrated Humanities Program. And I got tied up in this wonderful, and I use that word intentionally, wonderful group of people by going down to the 2011 John Senior Colloquium that they had down at Clear Creek, where I'm an oblate. And yeah, I try to plagiarize John Senior and Nellick and Quinn at every moment that I have. So if anybody's ever liked a class Bud and I have taught, you know, we team taught when Bud was here. That was me doing my best pale imitation of what the IHP was doing. I think that that's something else to bring up that when I hear this is maybe some insider baseball is John Senior. Like you guys have said, is sort of the spiritual head. He's the one who wrote the books that are the most easily accessible. If people have read about the Integrated Humanities Program, they've probably ran into John Senior. But if anybody knows anything about those three, what I really sense from you guys is a lot of Nellick coming through. And what I mean by this, for people who don't know, Nellick was the one who he loved wonder and he loved literature and he was great at this stuff. But he also was someone who was larger than life, hilarious, but also sometimes thought that what everybody needed to do was take a step back and take a cold dose, a cold dose of reality. And so if you ever get into a group of people, sometimes the Nellick stories are probably the funniest. I guess that's to say a lot of people worry, you know, if you're a homeschooler or you're doing something different in education, they're always worried about, like, aren't your kids going to be unsocialized or aren't they going to be dorks or, you know, whatever people are worried about. I think I hear from you guys, though, that exactly one of the benefits of doing education this way is if we look out in the world and we're not completely satisfied with what the world seems to be spitting at us, it's not a bad thing to maybe look a bit different. Is that an understatement or what?
No, I think that's right. And first of all, I take it as a high compliment to be considered in the likeness of Frank Nellick. That's a compliment indeed. But that's right. Looking different. The Acts of the Apostles you're reading about a group of men that was taking the world by storm with something different. Saint Paul talking about the altar to the unknown God. It is a little bit different, and that's not bad. That's actually wonderful. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
Bo.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one of the things about those professors, and I'm glad you brought up that they team taught, because I do think that was a really and very interesting and important dynamic in the experience. I remember reading Father Bethel, who's a Clear Creek monk, wrote a book on John Senior called John Senior and the Restoration of Realism, which I highly recommend. And he made an interesting point in the book that the professors weren't frankly that concerned about teaching any particular subject. They viewed their job as humanities professors, as teaching the art of living well. And I think one of the ways that they did that is just by their own example of the three professors, the way they interacted, the courtesy that they showed to one another, their deportment, the way they carried themselves. I think those things, which are unspoken, and not very obvious, were as important as anything else. And that, to me, is just a really, I think, an important part of our task, and is daunting, is just to realize that our task, as much as anything else, is to show these boys, kind of open the door to what the good life looks like. And the good life, it does not look like what you see on TV if you turn the TV on.
Amen.
It's very, very different. But it's also very attractive, and it's beautiful, and it's captivating. But it's just all about capturing their imagination, and so anyway, I could go on for a long time, but I think one of the key parts, Bo, for this for St. Martin's will be that screens will really not have a place there. The boys will not have access to screens, smartphones, laptops, tablets, whatever. And that is to allow this kind of healing of the imagination that I think needs to occur. If you are to be able to, if you're going to have a chance at choosing something other than what you're just absolutely, smacked with at every corner through, popular mainstream culture. So.
Well, this is fantastic stuff. Hey, can you guys stick around after the break? So we'll take the half-hour break, and then you guys come back and talk to us a bit more?
Yeah, of course.
All right, wonderful. So everybody stick around. This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. We'll be back after this break with Dan Kerr and Patrick Whalen, founders of St. Martin's Academy. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Your donation to the Catholic Tuition Organization makes a huge difference for kids and their families who want to send their children to Catholic schools, just can't afford it. Get 65% of your donation as an Iowa income tax credit, and then deduct the whole amount when you itemize on your federal return. Adds up to huge savings. Some give stock, others grain, some on a credit card. Hey, we even accept checks. Pledge or donate online, ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Thank you, Divine Treasures, for your support of our new Storm Alert weather package. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store celebrating 25 years of serving the Des Moines community. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures, where you find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. 5701 Hickman Road in Des Moines, 515-255-5230. That's 515-255-5230.
Support for The Uncommon Good is provided by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is an industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great.
Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies including ink, toner, paper, or printers. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement.
Cartridge World, your low-cost, environmentally friendly printing experts, 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online at cartridgeworld.com.
Are you suffering emotionally or spiritually after an abortion? At InterVisions Healthcare, we believe you deserve healing and support. We found that there are no quick fixes, but meeting with others who share the same pain can be a good start. To learn more about how this healing ministry can help you, call InterVisions at 515-440-2273. Ask for Jenny. InterVisions Healthcare. It's a safe and confidential place to begin the healing you deserve.
We're back with The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Marr, speaking with Dan Kerr, Patrick Whalen, founders, president and headmaster, respectively, of St. Martin's Academy, independent Catholic boarding high school for boys located in Fort Scott, Kansas, that not only integrates classical education, but also farming and working with nature and the beasts of the field. They'll be opening its doors in September of 2018, and they're actually taking applications for a class of freshmen and sophomores. Hey, guys, we were talking about technology, but I know the easiest way for people to find out more is technology, so where can they go look up about the St. Martin's Academy more, or how can they get in contact with you guys?
Yep, so www.stmartinsacademy.org, and that's all spelled out. So Saint spelled out, St. Martin's Academy www.thefaithandhealing.org. And we have, I think, a nice website that will represent what we're up to and what our plans are quite well. And there are a number of ways that you can reach us through the site. And so, yeah, I would just direct your listeners to the site.
So one of the things that is important for our show, of course, is to talk about how all sorts of issues that would seem to talk about individuals or even a small group of people, actually how these topics relate to the common good, the good in total, and then how this has a reflection on the social order. I think with education, we can oftentimes really bear down and think about, like, well, what's good for this individual kid, which is not wrong to do, right? It's good to say, what is best for my individual child and what do they need? Completely understand that. But part of that needs to be wedded in this idea that if I educate my child well, I'm not only doing right by my child, I'm also doing right by society as a whole. I think about the great list of people that we just spoke about who had went through the Integrated Humanities Program with Senior Nellick and Quinn, and that the sort of ramifications of this one school that was really only about a decade or so open, and how much it drastically changed the good for the society, good for the church. So I don't know if you guys want to speak to that. You know, it's not just a matter that when we make educational choices, it might be good for this or that child, but when we imagine going future into the future with education, maybe that's been lost, is this idea of how education plays a role in the larger common good.
Well, Bo and Bud, I think that's a great point. I suspect that if you have teachers listening, this is certainly something that every teacher would think, is that, you know, when you're teaching the individual students in your classroom or when you have an impact on a certain student, it's that vocation, that effect you have on that student isn't limited to just that student. Obviously, he will go out and affect all of his family and all of his friends with whatever good you were able to affect in him. And so it's the beautiful thing about the vocation to teaching is that ability, not just to affect students in your classroom, but to affect society much more generally. And I think, you know, classical education, is duly praised for inculcating a sense of civic virtue, and as I said, it should be. Students who read Aeschylus's Oresteia are going to be confronting fundamental questions that have been haunting humanity for over 2,000 years about what justice in a polity is, what it looks like, what individual excellence is, what one's duty to one's neighbor is. Those opportunities, reading a book like that, reading plays like that, those are unique opportunities that teachers have to bring students into contact with their responsibility to their fellow human beings, to society.
Guys, this is not to pick on our students necessarily, because Bo and I, we really were blessed with some great students at Mercy, and just, you know, students who had a real desire to learn. But one thing that would surprise us when we co-taught was the lack of references just to literature that had been canonical for so many years in our culture. I think one day in class, Bo mentioned the Sirens, you know, from the Odyssey, and just kind of like threw that out there. And the students were confused about what the call of the Sirens, you know. But in a school like yours, reading the great books, it's not simply like generating facts that you can then use to win Jeopardy, right? It's really an engagement with the books that humans have kept going back to, because there's something about going to those sources where, if we're trying to cultivate wonder, you mentioned exiling screens. I'll probably offend a few listeners here, but like, we want our students to read, Shakespeare and Dante, not, you know, like keeping Harry Potter off the shelf. That might not be a bad thing either.
Oh, but that's right. I think the great books tradition is so it's tried and true. It's tested. I think there's a kind of a simple maybe a simple criteria. Has it lasted? You know, and this is not original either, but how long has it lasted? Has it lasted, stood the test of time? And has it, year after year, affected good and affected wonder in the souls of the people that read those books? Like you and Bo have done in your classrooms, and as many teachers across the country and the world do, there's an obligation that we have as teachers to bring students into contact with books that might at first seem more difficult, less readily available than the Harry Potters of the world today. But that if we can bring the students into contact with them, they'll find them to be so illuminating, so freeing, so much richer than what they would be getting otherwise.
That's right. Yeah. I think a lot to the story from the book of Genesis of Jacob wrestling with, you know, the presence of God, an angel that comes to him at dusk. And I see reading the great books in much the same way. Like, there's that difficulty involved, but mm-hmm. you leave blessed in a way that you wouldn't by reading superficial literature. And I think mm-hmm. it's really a commentary on our culture that in much of life we realize that some sort of attainment is going to require sacrifice. So, for instance, we'll sacrifice a lot of time, energy, and sweat to be fit. But when it comes to education, sometimes there's that disconnect, and parents or students think like, oh, I can just kind of, I'll study the review sheet, succeed at the class, and get the, you know, the piece of paper at the end of it all.
You know, that makes me think of an article written by Simone Weil the name of the article is what is education for the purpose of education, something like this. I forget the side title, but she argues that ultimately the acute attention that difficult study develops, the metaphor of working out to get in shape, all that sweat and hard work. Simone Weil makes the argument that acute attention that is developed almost like a muscle in study is for the sake of prayer. It's for the sake of us being able to discipline and control our mind, our intellect, and directing it in prayer toward God. So, I mean, really, the stakes are pretty high, frankly. And it is hard work. It is hard work. But you're right that we often devote work similarly hard to maybe lesser goods.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful image, and I think so true, the point that Simone Weil makes, that prayer consists fundamentally in attention, moving outside of oneself, or allowing yourself to be inhabited by another presence. And that requires this kind of focus away from yourself on something else. And prayer can be difficult. I mean, I find it to be a difficult thing. I know Bo is very well advanced there, but
sure.
But but prayer is difficult, and I think part of the reason it's difficult is because it requires sustained focus and sustained attention, which we're just not very good at anymore. I mean, we live in a world of sound bites and very short attention spans, and media caters to that and really, I think, makes it very much worse. So, you know, it's one of, in fact, at St. Martin's, it's one of our core commitments to cultivate attentiveness because of its fundamental relationship to prayer. And so, I mean, our very relationship with God is wrapped up in this. And as Pat said, it's high stakes, serious business.
This is the Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. We are speaking with Dan Kerr and Patrick Whalen, founders of St. Martin's Academy that is opening its doors soon, this coming September 2018. You know, guys, I think it's important to point out This is, you guys have all hit on this in a multitude of ways. We do think that education largely falls to sort of like the data transfer of one memory bank to another. We act like we're all sort of computers, even though we're the ones who invented computers. And so it gets really, you know, interesting because people will then go, well, what makes a book great? And we'll go, survive the test of time. But then they'll go, well, why did it survive the test of time? And people will get the idea that what we're saying is, oh, well, these great books, you know, they teach the truth. And, you know, if you read these, you'll be good to go, etc. But then they sit down to read these books and they realize that they don't even all agree with each other. And then some of them actually, frankly, talk about just straight horrible ideas of life. Like, I'm teaching a bunch of high schoolers now the Iliad, which, at least through the first four books, is mostly a catalog of people and gods behaving badly. So the question is, why do we actually teach that? And what you go is, like, we're not trying to get where we just stick things into people's heads. They're great because it's the experience of wrestling with them is great. I'm not going, I mean, I'm a philosophy major, and I wish that curse on no one. Like, the lack of money, the not being cool at all. I'm going to blame being overweight on it, which is probably not true. But the idea that, like, what you want is to make little philosophers or to stick ideas in people's head totally misses the point about what this is after. And I think a good way to illustrate this, if you guys don't mind me being, you know, biographical, you guys who are the president and the headmaster, you know, y'all aren't a bunch of eggheads who have, like, you know, multiple PhDs. What were you guys doing in life before you decided in this endeavor? And I think, how does this help you actually be better equipped to lead this sort of education where the point isn't transfer of data, but leading young men through the trial of the great books so that they become better people on the other side?
Great question. I'm going to let Pat start here.
Well, so Bud and Bo, that, I spent about 9 years on active duty in the Marine Corps before coming on over here to St. Martin's. And one of the things you just said is it's not about data transfer. It's about leading the young people through the experience and the challenge of these books. I don't think there's a better metaphor, and I don't even know that it's a metaphor. It might just be the stark reality of teaching that it is a form of leadership. So spending 9 years in the Marine Corps, both enlisted and as an officer, the contact with young Marines in a variety of different settings, I have found it to be tremendously useful in so many ways, and not just useful, but deeply formative in how, we envision this project and how we're bringing it to being. And I think it's important. It's an important aspect of teaching that, again, as you said, not data transfer. If you think that the human beings entrusted to your care are some sort of tool to be used to achieve your end, that's a deeply troubling vision of humanity. They're souls entrusted to you to steward, to lead, to cultivate, and that's a leadership thing. So teaching is leadership. Ben.
Yeah, so, and you can hear that train now.
Yeah, bro. I know, so authentic.
right on schedule. So, about 12 years ago, I got involved in kind of a strange little niche industry relating to insurance claims adjusting, of all things. It was right after Hurricane Katrina. And it's not that interesting of a story, so I'll spare you the details. But I started my own business. And have been doing that for the last decade, and it started out as just me in a second bedroom, and thanks be to God, it has blossomed and grown tremendously, and there are about 30 of us now, and it's been a wonderful business, and I've learned so much in growing that business. In learning about leadership, in learning about teamwork, in learning about organizational health and communication. And I just am very, very thankful. And I think I think that Providence has been teeing up St. Martin's for a long time, and I can just see it in my life, from the very beginning. I grew up in Fort Scott, surrounded, it just happened to be a little hotbed of Integrated Humanities Program alums. My folks are not from the IHP program, but we're very much birds of a feather, and we fell in with that community here. Have a wonderful family, and had a great education growing up. And one of the things that struck me, because I was interested in starting a school 15 years ago when I was fresh out of college, and it seemed that there were a lot of good ideas, wonderful ideas, about the school, and we could really articulate the vision well, but it seemed to me that there lacked a certain kind of practicality in being able to get things done and to execute a plan and to put the thing into motion. And so a lot of times those conversations never went beyond just good ideas. And so I am just very thankful for the time I've had in business to learn how to get things done, and to put a plan in place and methodically work through it and execute it. And so that's been a great blessing, and it's been very helpful in getting St. Martin's off the ground. And we have a long ways to go, but I think we're off to a very strong start, and you know, I think we're gonna pull this off. I mean, we're bootstrapping this thing, you know, from the ground up, and I think I think things are looking very good. So, yeah, that's probably more than you wanted to know. But I the main point is that I think I just see the hand of Providence at work in this project, and it's a beautiful thing.
Well, Patrick and Daniel, we're nearing the end of the show. Thanks so much for that just really informative background to the school. Could you let our listeners know again the website and also anything else they might need to know to get a hold of you to support you guys or maybe enroll a child in the school?
Yeah, so if you go to the website, it's stmartinsacademy.org, and that's Saint spelled out, stmartinsacademy.org. And you will be able to contact us in a variety of ways, phone, email. You can also send out what we simply call a pre-application, which only means that we're going to be in contact with you to discuss whether or not St. Martin's might be a good fit for your boy. A couple of other things of note. First, we are running two camps. One will be in mid-April, which will be largely for homeschoolers, and we're going to run one in mid-June. And I might let Pat talk just a little bit about those camps.
Well, Bud and Bo, just in brief, the camps are built around part of our athletic program at St. Martin's. It's we're calling it the FORT program, Functional Outdoor Resilience Training. Fancy acronym. Essentially, we're trying to fit into a week some of that contact with reality, some of the contact in outdoorsmanship, working as a member of a team, working as a leader, trying to fit all of those things that you would get as a student at St. Martin's into a week-long camp for those who are interested. So, those camps are going on as well. Great opportunities, good leadership development and outdoor skills.
A couple of other things real quick. Just to give the listeners an update on how things are progressing with the school itself. We have broken ground and we are literally, doing the excavation work right now. And our first building, which you can see details of if you go to the website, our first building has started. And it's going to be a beautiful building, and we will be ready to open doors next fall. The campus itself will be on more of a 5 to 7 year plan,
to build the entire campus. But our first building will be completed in late spring, early summer. So,
well, guys,
any prayers you can send our way, we would be very, very grateful.
No, well, I think that just hearing you guys talk, I think you'll have plenty of prayers coming your way. Thank you guys so much for coming on air. Dan Kerr, Patrick Whalen, President and Headmaster, Founders of St. Martin's Academy in Fort Scott, Kansas. You can go online, stmartinsacademy.org, to look up more. Guys, thanks for coming on the show, and God bless. We'll hopefully we get to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Well, Bud, we're getting ready to close up the show. You know, I think that camp even sounds really cool. Lord knows I'm not going to go because I don't want to see a bunch of children mow me into the ground with their athletic prowess.
No, it's funny with you, Bo. Yeah, what things you can tolerate or not. Like, I mean, you teach college students and now high schoolers and do a great job at that, but I don't envision you as a camp counselor.
No, I think when I start getting in those climbs, like the inner Bobby Knight comes out. That's probably why I shouldn't be a coach either.
It would turn into Marine boot camp pretty quickly.
Yeah, I probably would be meaner than the actual Marine. Well, folks, this is the Uncommon Good, like we've been saying. It's so wonderful to have you guys be a part of our ministry. If you feel so called, please remember us between some of your maybe paying other bills. This is a nonprofit endeavor here at Iowa Catholic Radio, and every time people contribute to what we do, we see that as more than just paying bills. It's being a part of our community. Tune in for wonderful things like the Rosary at 9:30 every day at 5 a.m., the Bible throughout the year. There's just so much going on, and we're so grateful to be a part of it. And, Bud, Godspeed out there in Pittsburgh. It was good to get to talk to you again, buddy.
Yeah, I hope all's going well, and thanks. We'll catch you all next week.
So this is the Uncommon Good. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, in our families, in our communities, our cities, our state, our country, and the entire world. This has been the Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. We look forward to you guys listening in next week. We'll see you then. God bless.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.